Welcome to Wealth on Main Street, where conversations about growing your wealth are fun and entertaining. Wealth isn't just about money. It's the skills and the knowledge that we develop to pass on to future generations. Tune in each week to grow your mindset and your net worth at the same time.
Today, you're in for a real treat. And we're sitting down with a teammate of ours who not only brings incredible ambition and desire to serve the people in implementing the infinite banking concept, but he also brings that unmistakable warmth that and authenticity that you can only find on the East Coast of Canada. And so Ashley's been he's been making waves, and not the kind that you see on the Atlantic. he's just been a great teammate. He's someone that's really embodying, you know, what any great organization would want in a teammate. And so Ashley, it's, this is going to be a great show just to hear, you know, the journey of your life that led you to where you are today and what's inspired you to become an authorized infinite banking practitioner and why we feel so lucky to have you. And so for those who haven't had the pleasure of meeting you yet, firstly, welcome to the show and maybe share a little bit with us about your background and what it was like growing up on the East Coast.
Hey, thank you for that, Jason. Thank you for having me, Richard. So I'm from the East Coast now, but I'm originally from Ontario.
Still pretty east for me because I'm a Westerner. So,
well, of course. I mean, you guys are on the other side of the country. So, I mean, if you want to, you know, I don't know how people from Ontario will feel about that, but I guess you can class it. You can class them into the East Coast. Yeah. So, I'm in the East Coast now. I was born and raised in Toronto. That's where I grew up. I spent most of my youth there. You know, prior to just joining the Army, but spent most of my time in Ontario, and you know, and then did a career in the Army as well, and then. You know, which has kind of brought me to this point here.
Appreciate your service. Thank you. And yeah, I remember when we were chatting last time we were in Toronto and you were pointing out the area that we were in and what it looked like when you were there compared to how much more developed, you know, that it is now. I mean, that's a city that has just been growing obviously like crazy. And but I'm genuinely curious, like what initially attracted you to investigate the infinite banking concept? What was it that was compelling enough to draw you in?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I actually came across an ad on Instagram when I was kind of just scrolling, and it didn't say much. It just had the words infinite banking. And it kind of intrigued me because I had never heard those two words put together before. Mm. Now, I don't come from a financial background or anything, but I've always been interested in finance and interested in, I guess, the money game, probably because I come from poverty and, you know, grew up on social assistance and stuff like that. Well, you know, single mother, that kind of story. And so as I've gotten older, I've taken more of an interest in that so that, you know, the same kind of issues or problems don't end up repeating themselves in the future. Now, that being said, with coming across those two words, of course, I had to get on the Google rabbit hole and figure out what exactly is this. And that's kind of how I started that journey, was putting in those words into a Google search engine and seeing what came up. Now, a lot came up. But once I started seeing that there was actually books written about infinite banking, I was like, oh, okay. So then maybe there is something here if there's actually books on it. So that's when I started ordering books.
Wow. Yeah. It's such a similar path, you know, that, that people take, because the message is, there's just something in the words. It's something where it's like, okay, what is this? And what does it mean? And how can it be an advantage? And I can relate to growing up, Ash, the way that you did. And, you know, we had literally nothing, more often than not. And my, neither my dad or my mom had anybody to coach them and to show them that there was a better way. And that could have changed things for their marriage. And it could have changed things for the trajectory at that time for my sister and I and our family. And so I can definitely relate. And there are so many families out there who have had that experience, and this concept can enable people to break that cycle and to be that first generation that takes a different fork in the road and moves the family toward a higher degree of financial stability and abundance. And it just addresses so much, so many of the other stressors that come along with struggling, you know, financially. And so, yeah, it's, I think that's going to serve you so well in how you serve the people and take care of clients and help be that who that shows them the better way. So yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Well, and you know, Google search produces an awful lot of things. And, you know, I don't know if anyone's aware, but Uncle Google tends to track some of your search history and know what kind of things it should theoretically show up for you. So I'm curious, as you started to dig deeper, you read a few books, at what point did it show up for you, Ash, is like, this is something that really requires a lot more investigation? Like you went from interested to learning what it is to, this is something I want to embrace in my life. Where was the connection point for you?
I would say it was after I read the first book. It was Money, Wealth, Life Insurance by Jake Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
And it's more US-centric.
Yeah.
So I read through that and I was like, well, this is amazing. But can you do this in Canada? So then I had to get back on the internet. So I had to get back on Google and look for the same kind of concept for infinite banking, but Canadian specific.
Right.
So then I came across another book. It was written by Alberto Storelli called, I think it's called How to Safely Turn Your Expenses into Guaranteed Income, something about private banking.
Okay.
And that was a Canadian book. And I was like, okay, so you can do this in Canada. And then I was like, okay, I need more information. Now, in that book, he references R. Nelson Nash and actually has a picture of him on the back of the book with him. Mm. And in the back of that book, he lists probably about 20 other additional books that you should be looking into about infinite banking. And most of the books on there, or a big part of those books on there, is written by, you know, Nelson Nash. And the books that I've also come to realize now, being with Ascendant Financial and going through, you know, the infinite banking concept. And so then I was like, I need more information. So I got back on there again. And then I was like, okay, I need more information to really start to understand this. And that's when I came across your guys' book. Ah. So I ordered the Canadian Guide to Wealth Building Without Risk. I came across that when I was like, okay. And then, so not only did the previous book mention, you know, Becoming Your Own Banker by R. Nelson Nash, you guys mentioned that as well. And because it was mentioned so many times between the two books, I was like, I got to get this book. So I ordered another book.
So you've been doing a whole lot of reading.
I was doing a whole lot of reading. Yes. So I was trying to do it as quickly as possible, really trying to stay focused on it, just waiting for those books to come, you know, to come in the mail. And then when I finally got Becoming Your Own Banker and I read that book, I knew after the first book that this was a no-brainer. Mm. I just didn't understand 100% yet really how to implement it, what the steps I needed to take, what I needed to do, and if it could be done in Canada. But by the time I got to, you know, the fourth book in, even before that, I was like, yeah, this is a no-brainer. But now how do I do it? So I have a concept, I have an idea, but what do I have to do? Who do I have to talk to?
That is very, very similar to, like, well, you're finding that out, right? With the people that you're connecting with. And we always ask folks, you know, how long have you known about us? And what was there some piece of content, reading material, audio, video, something that tipped the scale for you? Like, what compelled you to create that time to connect with us now? And the most frequent response that we get is, I've been reading a lot. I've been watching YouTube content. I've been binging the Wealth on Main Street podcast. And I feel ready now to have that conversation. And so if you switch hats now and into your authorized infinite banking practitioner hat, and you're sitting down with somebody and just having this discussion and helping get them to clarity and answering their questions and continuing that education process, what is the number one thing that you hope they feel during and after a conversation with you?
I hope that they feel that I'm relatable, like this, the same type of journey that they were on, I was on once before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the same effort put into trying to get as much education as possible and understanding that this could be something that could be very beneficial to not only myself, but family and everyone that I know, and understanding that, you know, it's the same level of drive and determination and possibly even, you know, some emotion attached to that as well is what motivated me to not only go through the process myself, but get to where I am right now to be able to then turn around to have the knowledge to pass on to people that we want to help and serve.
Love that. Absolutely love that. And based on the interactions that you've been having so far, you know, with prospective and existing clients, like what is one of the biggest mind shifts that the person goes through typically, like when they truly understand that, okay, the infinite banking concept is definitely something that I am going to implement for my family or my business. What are you seeing as the biggest mindset shift that they're experiencing?
I think a big part of that is just in the word infinite, understanding that the only thing that is limiting what they can utilize this for is their imagination. Mm-hmm. Once they realize that, it's like, you know, once you see it, you can't unsee it.
So true.
And then the wheels start spinning and it's, what else can I use this for? How else can I apply this in my life? Who can I bring in with me to figure out other opportunities, you know, with that ready access to capital to expand even more? It's nonstop. And that's once that momentum starts and begins, then, you know, it's almost like the tailwind that Nelson Nash talks about, you know, when he's referring to the efficiency and policies. Once you get that behind you and that momentum's there and that motivation, you can't turn that off.
So true. Rich?
You know, your past career being in the Canadian Army, of course, I'm sure you have lots of stories there, but, you know, very different place you find yourself in now, helping people understand this concept, educating them this way. You know, you've got a natural curiosity, learning for yourself, passing that on to others. I'm curious, what skill sets and things from your past, in whether it's the Army and things you've done, do you find that you're able to apply and connect with here in this new role that you're in, helping people discover this? Is there anything that you find you're able to translate over from your learned experience?
I think when it comes to teammates, you know, the ability to actively listen, understand what the conversations that we're having, and be able to give thoughtful responses about either questions or ideas that they have. But then when I'm speaking with, you know, potential clients or prospects, I think a lot of it comes from just real world experience of seeing things that are outside of the Western hemisphere or what we're used to in our comfortable lives. When I start to think about some of the past experiences I've had and the type of countries I've been to and served in and the turmoil and things that have been going on there, our first world problems don't seem that bad. Mm. And I think if you can put it into that kind of context, you can look and talk to the people that we're having conversations with and just say, look, you know, there is a better way of doing things. We have that information, and that's what I want to share with you. And unfortunately, our problems in our country, as an example, or North America, are going to be very different than a lot of other countries around the world. And mm-hmm. I think one of the big things for ours comes down to that financial education, because people can say all day that money doesn't matter, but it makes things happen.
Oh, it sure does.
Yeah. So if you really think about it, and if it doesn't have a concern to you, well, it's going to be important and it's going to mean something to someone else, especially someone else that's less fortunate than you, that may not be in the type of position that you're in to make said comment.
Reminds me of something that Jason, you know, kind of connects it with. It's like, it's kind of like air. Try living without it for a while and see how that goes for you, you know, when it relates to money.
That's so true. And so Ash, you know, with, when you take all that into account, so if we were to, you know, fast forward, you know, a few years into the future, and there are clients, right? There are clients that are telling friends or acquaintances about working with you. What do you hope they say?
Hope that they speak to my authenticity. Like I don't put on an act. What you see is what you get. I'm here to expand on facts and let people know that unfortunately, the majority of the financial system as we know it is not here to benefit us. And you know, if you don't understand what the problem is, as Nelson says, then the solution just isn't going to matter. So once we can get to that clarity, addressing more of your question directly is, I hope that my direct approach and being jovial at times, I throw humor in there to try and lighten up the mood for hard conversations that need to happen, because not everyone can have those hard conversations in a direct manner, but there's still a way to get that done. And I think once people start to realize that you're actually there to help them, not take advantage of them, but it's not an act. Once they start to see that and the passion behind, you know, either your journey or what you're trying to accomplish, you know, by reaching that 10% and actually helping them through the struggles that they're going through right now, having been someone that's, you know, struggled from the very day one, then I think they'll appreciate that. And hopefully they'll be able to pass that on.
Oh, I love that. And that's just a sharp example of your genuineness and how you show up for people. And if you think now you bring that sort of into the fact that, you know, the three of us are teammates and we have obviously, you know, a much, much bigger team. And I'm just genuinely curious, what do you think people looking on the outside in don't see about how we work together at Ascendant?
I think they're definitely not exposed to the openness and the sharing components and just the genuine fact that when someone says that they're concerned about what's going on or they're showing emotion, that they're genuinely concerned or they're genuinely wanted to help somebody and help the teammates and do better. So it's that genuine openness. And it's not an act. And I really do appreciate that people will take the time to have conversations with you and help you along the process like any teammate would. And coming from my background of, I understand what the definition of team means. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to achieve this on your own. You can be a lone wolf all day long, but eventually you're going to break down.
Yeah, there's something to be said about isolation. Rich?
Well, and you're, you know, used to team in a physical close proximity sense, which you don't have to the degree anymore. We do tend to work in more remote environments spread out across the nation. So the fact that we're able to, I guess, reproduce or produce as much of a close facsimile to, you know, that proximity through the amount of meetings, weekly, regular opportunities to connect and do training, I think is a huge advantage. But there's more than that. There's also stepping up and attending a lot of events. And, you know, Ash, you've traveled to attend different types of training events, lots of them. You've actually been to two of our the think tanks in the time that you've been doing this. And I think that, you know, early on in your journey, you committed to attending a think tank right away. So I'm curious, you know, even for the advisors, because we have a number of advisors listen to our show, what would be some things that you would share with them around the importance, the experience of being more connected to the Nelson Nash Institute, going through some of that programming, you know, attending think tanks? What are some things that come up for you around that you think people should be aware of?
I think over time, we can get comfortable in our silos, you know, and just the areas that we're operating in. And what it does have a tendency to do is it has a tendency to, you know, potentially affect our growth and our exposure to the bigger picture. So when you are attached to and or participate in something that the Nelson Nash Institute is putting on, you know, I think it helps ground you as to, you know, the individual that started this and the motives behind what Nelson Nash was trying to achieve in the first place. So it's not, you know, it also helps in not forgetting where you come from and where this originated from. And I think it's important to keep those connections because not only that, you know, business is done slightly different between Canada and the US. The one consistency is IBC. So it doesn't matter who you talk to from south of the border or any one of those states or any of our teammates across any of the other provinces, we're on the same, we're all participating in the same mission. And the same mission is to target and bring people up to speed and educate them on there is a better way to do things that will benefit them, that will not take advantage of them, and that they can utilize to be in a much better position financially when it comes to life.
That is so remarkably accurate. And so Ash, with your experience now in developing as a practitioner, so what would you share with viewers and listeners that is, you know, your advisor superpower, like something that you just feel so confident in that you're so good at? What would you say that is?
Well, good thing it was an easy question.
He's like, my superpower is taking time to think about how I'm going to answer a question.
Yeah, no, I think my superpower is probably directness.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is I don't have a problem having a difficult conversation, and I don't have a problem being direct with somebody, but it's not, the individual will eventually realize that it is for their benefit.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like when we have conversations with leads, you know, that we're trying to help serve. Once we realize that, hey, I'm not here to sell you anything. Like this is, that's not what this is about. Right. We're here to have a conversation, to figure out, hey, you know, is this going to be a good fit for you based on your values and our values?
Love that.
That's where it all begins, right? People pick up on that, and it shines through obviously the raves, the reviews that people share, and the feedback when we're at, and you've experienced this at live events, right? When we do family banking summits and people show up there and they're sharing on the mic openly in front of everybody in the room. Like, I've been doing this for a while. I've been working with my coach and my guide, and they're always there to help me. And it's not, they're not sharing things with me that have sugar coated on them. It's, we're here to help you by actually helping you. And all progress begins with telling the truth. And so sometimes that truth is a direct conversation, and it's something that they need to hear. And so that's a great superpower to have, and continue to sharpen it. Like, it's not something that you should ever, you know, tamper or not, you know, bring into the interactions that you're having with people. And so that's what makes part of how unique you are. And but what an amazing time it is to be able to serve the people and to be able to do it truthfully, and to not try to sell them something. Like, you're the buyer in the deal, not the seller. And so, but at the end of the day, people buy people. That's just the truth.
Yeah. And I think people appreciate honesty. I don't think there's enough of it nowadays, to be honest with you. No pun intended. But I think they appreciate honesty. And you know, part of that is the delivery of it. But people generally don't want to be taken advantage of.
Right.
Who wants to experience that? And that's happening every day in people's lives.
So true.
I think when they come to us, and the conversation goes the opposite direction, where it's, you know, this is either going to work for you or it's not going to work for you. I'm going to be here to help coach you and educate you. You got to meet me halfway, right? You have to have skin in the game.
Yeah.
Right. That pay price to action. But when you say to somebody, this has to be a priority for you, not for me. And it starts to get them to rethink their thinking. Once they start to have those kind of conversations, they're like, oh, maybe he is looking out for my best interests. This is odd.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, everybody needs to earn an income, whatever it is that they do. And yeah, we're blessed to do this and earn an income by helping people in, I think, a really powerful way. But you're so correct in understanding that they need to have it as a priority. And that understanding comes through the education, through all the research that they're doing. And, you know, sometimes you get people, they jump on a call and they're like, hey, what is this thing all about? And can I get started? I'm like, well, first off, if you don't know what it's all about, you shouldn't be starting anything. And why should we get started on something if we, by the way, hi, nice to meet you. You know, like, let's just hit the pause button for a second and let's start over. Let's just rewind the tape a little bit. And
yes.
So I think that kind of connection with people does take them off guard, because they're assuming always that they're going to be sold something, and it's like, no, you're making a decision. You're simply having options presented in front of you that you get to decide upon. But before anything gets presented to you, we need to first understand, are you prepared to do the work necessary to even do anything with one of these options? And that's so critically important. There's real power in doing the exercise, and you have to do some reps, and some of those reps should be done before a person even has that initial conversation. That's reading a book like you did. You read four of them. That's watching some video content. It's going through an example to see what this might look like and hearing some of those stories. Those little steps, they don't take very long, and it's not painful. It's easy to do. If you're like me and you listen to things at 2x speed on YouTube, you can get through it pretty fast. You know, I was walking around my garage before we got on this call, working on cleaning some things up. I was sharing with Ash before we hit the go button. And I was listening to things and filling my brain with new positive information at the same time. So what if it sounded like chipmunks in my ear? It's effective for me to learn that way. So, you know, word to everyone who's listening, if you want to get more content, you can train your brain to learn at 2x speed. It doesn't work for everybody, but it works really well for me. So it's not difficult to do that kind of stuff. When I think about this, Ash, you're helping people get started. And of course, there's a ton of resources. There's resources for when they're in the process of learning. They're before you've even had a first call, or maybe you have an initial call and you suggest that they get some more learning in before you do the next, you know, another meeting. But once they do decide to move forward and they make that step, they're making that commitment. What are you fond of? What's really working or helping for the people you're serving on the resources that are available to them once they decide to move forward?
I think because there's so much information out there, the noise can be deafening. And when we start off by saying, you know, we've got a couple of phases that we operate in. The first thing we start with is education. That's first and foremost. And that people are usually taken back by that. And you can be absorbing all kinds of information, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the correct information that you need to be absorbing.
Right.
So when we tell them that, yeah, you know, there's books here that you guys have produced, right? Quarterly books that you put out, and there's the podcast like this right here. You know, there's the Banker's Vault. There's all these different options. It's like when I pass on some of those resources that are specific to the conversation that we're having, because that's what is most important, to bring them up to speed about the problems and or addressing the concerns that they have. So that's where we're going to start the conversation. I tell them, you can get lost going down the YouTube rabbit hole, and you can do that if you want. But what I first need you to do is just get through the specific resources I'm going to send you, because that's specific to our conversation right now. You can spend as much time as you want afterwards, because you can spend weeks going down there. But it's easy to get lost in all the resources. So I think it's very important to have someone that can guide them along the specific resources that we've produced at Ascendant Financial, because a lot of times in conversations, I'll have someone that says they've consumed all kinds of content, but then they'll start talking about a lot of US content as well. And now we're starting to see and or have conversations about differences, when it's like, okay, let's stop. Let's back up and slow down a little bit, because we need to clarify what the differences are between what you're watching and what you're consuming and what we need to provide for you to bring you up to speed.
Yeah. And getting people to clarity is so important, and getting them to clarity with resources that are anchored in what the infinite banking concept actually is. And if we were to pull up 20 different videos, snackable content, maybe 2 minutes in length, that have a title, something like, "What is the infinite banking concept?" I would wager that it would be remarkably difficult to find one that describes the infinite banking concept in what it actually is. Controlling how you finance the things that you need throughout your lifetime, and recapturing the interest that you would have otherwise paid to someone else's bank or finance company for all those things. Whereas the videos are all, describing The infinite banking concept is a strategy to build wealth. It's a strategy to get rich. It's a strategy to insert XYZ here. And when people get to clarity on what the concept actually is, they want even more to implement it. Like, shocker. So the approach definitely works. And if you think of just given the training and, you know, how we go about continually getting better together, regardless of where we are in our journey, because there's no such thing as having arrived in knowledge. So we get contacted, and Richard and I were actually just having this conversation yesterday. Like, we get contacted from people who want to join the team, and we have a really good vetting process in place. So not everybody makes it, right? Not everybody makes the cut. But what is, if you could give that person who's listening to this or watching this video, and they really feel drawn to the Ascendant team, they want to explore joining the team, what would be one cultural truth? One cultural truth about Ascendant that they need to hear.
Cultural truth. Honesty. Yeah. If you're not a team player and you're not in it for everyone equally, not just, not just about yourself, then this isn't the place for you.
I appreciate your honesty.
What I got. That's all I got.
Rich?
Well, Ash, we appreciate everything that you're doing. We appreciate your focus on learning and developing your education. Again, consuming content yourself, getting yourself to a position where you're becoming the knowledge base that you once sought, and providing that to others. It's really commendable in the way that you've gone about doing it, and you're so determined to show up at the events, be there at all the things, take in all the learning, and be a sponge so that you can, you know, when the clients come to ring the sponge, you're able to actually provide a lot of good value to them, which is really incredible. So, you know, being that you don't, I don't imagine it was common when you were in the Army that you would run around wearing a cape, perhaps maybe some properly designed gear that would hide you to some degree in camouflage, but maybe not a cape. My question really for you is who do you most want to be a hero to?
Bringing the tough ones today. Who do I most want to be a hero to? I'd say to the youth of tomorrow, if I can show them that there is a better way to help secure their future and their family's future for generations, then I've done my part.
Love that. And Ash, most important question of the day.
Oh, tough one.
Dinner option, lobster roll or lobster dinner?
Oh, that is tough. You know what? Based on some of the lobster rolls that I've had, it's going to have to be a lobster roll.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. I forgot to ask Liz that question when we were on with her just the other day. So we'll have to follow that up with her as well. But Ash, this was a great experience, and we're definitely going to have you back. All of our teammates that come through the show will be back periodically just to share how they've continued their journey of learning, because Nelson told us all the time, there's no such thing as having arrived in knowledge. There's always something new to learn. And the more that you see the infinite banking concept, the more you'll see you didn't see. And Rich and I can attest to that. Rich in his 16th year, me entering my 17th year in this journey, I'm always learning something new too, because I'm receptive to it. And so we'll have you back and have you share some updates on your journey. But guys, this was a ton of fun. And for everybody watching on the YouTubes, you just saw another video pop up, because that's our way of encouraging you to continue your journey of learning. So watch that video. We recommended it for a reason. Keep learning, keep growing. And guys, have an outstanding rest of your week. This was awesome.
See ya.